And in truth, it's good to see each and every single person, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. I appreciate Chris doing a good job in the song service, and especially leading to that last song as it talks about seeing and hearing and walking and talking. That fits right in. I don't know if he did that on purpose. I imagine he probably did. But if he did, good job, even in doing that. I appreciate that very much. It fits in with our sermon series that we started last week as we took our text from Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6, when in verse 6, Israel's being described as having no soundness from the foot, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head. And I also think about the passage that we mentioned last week as Ethan read for us last week from the book of Romans, chapter 6 and then verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so as we think about Romans chapter 6 and then verse 13, about using every member of our body for the benefit of doing what God would have us to do, as opposed to yielding ourselves unto sin. Again, if we're not careful, from the sole of our foot to the crown of our head, there'll be no soundness in it. Appreciate Ethan doing the good job this morning reading Isaiah 1, verses 1 through 6. And so we've got to take care and pay attention to how we're using our members, the members of our body. So I shared with you 5 points, I believe it was, last week, last Sunday morning. As we thought about the minds of men, I'd like to continue thinking about the minds of men and give at least 4 or 5 more points that you can think about as you open up your Bible and you study and notice what the Bible says concerning the minds of men. And then tonight we'll switch gears and talk about the ears of men. So I hope you'll purpose and you'll plan right now to come back tonight and listen to that sermon. You may say, well, preacher, I usually don't come on Sunday night. Well, purpose that tonight. You're going to change that. And come back and be with us as we begin to talk about the ears of men tonight. So we think about the minds of men. I want us to think about what is stated in the book of Daniel chapter 5. Notice, if you will, in Daniel chapter 5 and in verse 20, when the Bible says, but when his heart, and this is Daniel speaking to the king, but when his heart, let's go back to verse 18, you'll get a better sense of the context. So thou, king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, now notice what is stated concerning his father, the king's father. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven with the sons of men, or from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Verse 22. But thou, his son, O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. The first mindset that I want you to think about with me this morning is the fact that we can have the mind, or the heart, the mind we're talking about, this is the Bible heart, by the way, the mind of men that is hardened with pride. Here's an example of that. Daniel's talking to the king, whose father was a king, Nebuchadnezzar, and his heart was lifted up, it was hardened with pride. When you look at Proverbs chapter 6 and then verse 17, it's among the list of things that God does not like, that He hates, is a prideful heart or an arrogant look, a haughty look the Bible talks about. Have you ever met anyone that was lifted up with pride? They were arrogant. They were haughty. You couldn't tell them anything. The reason you couldn't tell them anything is they already knew it. You ever known a know-it-all? I may mention before, and I think about myself, and sometimes individuals will make the comment going out the door, "Preacher, you stepped on my toes." Well, probably not before I step on my own. But what I say to you, I say to me first. And by the way, I've never known anyone who likes an arrogant preacher. And so I'll try not to be arrogant. I hope they don't come across that way because I don't know everything. Our boldness needs to be in the Word of God and not in self. Our confidence needs to be in what the book says and not in self. You agree with that? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, Paul gives a divine charge, makes a good sermon. Divine charges. I have that prepared. I don't know as if I've preached it here or not. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they trust not in riches, be not high-minded, nor trust in riches, but in the living God, who richly giveth us all things to enjoy. So don't be high-minded. Don't let your heart, your mind, be lifted up in pride. Be humble and have the attitude that God would have us to have. I think about another example that's found in the latter part of the book of Acts chapter 12 with Herod. Here was a ruler, a New Testament ruler. And he stretched forth his hands. The first part of the chapter 12, again, verse 1, talks about he stretched forth his hand and he killed James, a brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter also. Remember that? And put him in prison. Acts 12, verse 4. But it fell upon one occasion that he gave a speech. He spoke to the people. Begin verse 21 of Acts 12. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. A lot of folks today, they just love a well-polished speaker, don't they? Well, we just want someone to stand before us that can speak smoothly. Better be careful about that. What's more important than the way that a person says it is what they're saying. I understand sometimes it's not only important what we say, but how we say it. But be careful about desiring to have a smooth talker stand before you. In verse 22, and the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. If you want to know the reason why this man lost his life, the text tells us it's because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And so as we think about the minds of men, don't have a prideful mentality. Don't have a mind that's lifted up with pride. As you think about the minds of men, come with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and notice what the Lord stated to them of His day. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." We're going to talk about the heart in a future sermon. As we think about this series dealing with the mind of men, the ears, the eyes, the mouth, the tongue, the heart, the hands, and the feet. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." If I were to ask you right now, don't answer out loud, but I want you to think for yourself and about yourself. How much of your mind is devoted to loving God? Don't try to answer for someone else. I want you to think about self. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How are you doing along those lines? How am I doing? I've got to ask myself that question. It's also stated in Mark 12:30 and in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 27. Someone says, "Preacher, I don't know how I can really gauge how much love I have for God. I'm not sure that I've put my finger on it and really come up with an answer." Can I give you a passage that's a strong indicator as to how much love you have for God? Jesus said, as recorded in John 14 and in verse 15, "If you love me," you know the rest of that? You do, don't you? "Keep my commandments." Preacher, I'm not sure how much I love God. Well, if you love Him, you'll be keeping His commandments. Are you keeping His commandments? Well, which one do I have to keep? What kind of question is that? Which of the commandments do I have to keep when I open up the pages in the New Testament and I understand that I'm living this side of the cross under the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25, the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. What kind of question is it to ask, which one do I have to keep? You know how many you have to obey? All of them. You got to do what God said. Well, there's no way that I can do everything that God would have me to do. I didn't say that someone is sinless and without wrongdoing. We know that we fall short, that we do wrong. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10 talks about that. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 talks about that. We're all falling short of the glory of God and so forth. I understand that. But just because I'm weak in the flesh is no excuse to fail to do what God says to do. And there's a whole host of people today who just think nothing really about failing to do what God would have them to do. And so you need to read through your New Testament. I need to read through my New Testament when I run across what God says I'm supposed to be doing as a child of His. And I say, you know what, I didn't know that. Well, guess what? Underscore and get busy doing it. If not, we'll come up short. Do what God says to do. You know why? Because we'll be judged according to what this book says. Jesus said, John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day." So don't reject what He says. Obey what He says. Again, the connection between obedience and our love for God is expressed in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3. When the Bible says, "For this is the love of God," what is it, Brother John? I'm curious to know what the love of God is. "That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So how well do you love the Lord? You need to think about how well you're obeying the Lord. "Well, preacher, I've never obeyed the Lord." Well, then you don't love the Lord as you should, and so you ought to obey the Lord before this service is out. Right? Don't put it off. Don't say, "Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow." We might gather here, but you may not be among us. Your life may be snuffed out like the lives of so many people each and every day is. So obey Him while you have opportunity. Come with me to Romans 12 and then verse 1 as we think about another mind that we need to be concerned with as we think about our mind, our disposition, our mentality, our heart. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about individuals who simply do not love the truth, not concerned about what is right. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. As a result of that, verse 24 says that God gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, there's people, I'm convinced today, who do not even want to retain God in their knowledge. You try to talk to them about spiritual things, and they just want, they'll change the subject. They don't want to entertain it. They're not interested in it. All they're interested in laughing about the latest dirty jokes and talking about this, that, and the other. They just is of no value whatsoever. But they don't want to talk about spiritual things. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Now watch this. To a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. You know how strong of a word... I'll admit to you, I don't believe that I know how strong of an original word that this is. I can look the definition up. It just simply means not meeting the rule of no value, worthless. But these people didn't want to do what God would have them to do. And I want you to know, and I'll remind myself too, if I don't want to do what God would have me to do, God's not going to force me to do His will. He'll let me do whatever it is that I want to do. And I'll tell you something, that at the end of the day, most people do what they want to do anyway. Now we can try to plead, and we can try to teach, and we can try to exhort, and we can try to beg, and whatever word that you want to use to get them to come, and at the end of the day, they'll do what they want to do anyway. And God's going to let them. And they, as we will stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and give an account of the things we've done in this body, whether it's good or bad. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. 2 Timothy 3:8, you read about a couple of individuals that are pointed out that had this type of mind. When the Bible says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. You know folks today who resist the truth? You try to teach people about obeying the gospel and what it takes to become a Christian and what church is a New Testament church, which is the church of Christ. Who will resist that? You talk about the love of God and about mercy and about long-suffering, and you'll have no problem whatsoever. People will just listen to that. And that's fine. It's a Bible topic. You start talking about fleeing fornication and adultery and repenting and about being a member of the church of Christ and so forth, and they'll resist the truth many times. He says, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The faith. The gospel. The doctrine of the Lord. It ain't but one. And folks will resist it even down to this present time. As we think about the mind that we ought to have, come with me to Romans chapter 15. And then verse 6. Paul's writing to Christians. The Roman Catholic Church teaches you become a saint after you've died and there's been a miracle that's been confirmed, connected with you, and then you can be nominated to eventually become a saint. But I'll remind you that the Apostle Paul is not writing to a bunch of dead people. He's writing to living people. And he refers to them as the saints at Rome. Romans 1 verse 7. And he says to these Christians, people like you, people like me that obeyed the gospel of Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talks about being like-minded, one toward another in verse 5. In the religious, confused and divided world that we live in, hardly do individuals with one mouth speak what God would have them to speak. Well, they're divided. And Paul says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:11 talks about being of one mind. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Also Philippians 2:2 and 1 Peter 3 and then verse 8. Over and over the New Testament talks about the importance of having the same mind. In Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. I'll tell you, this congregation will accomplish more than we ever thought possible. And we get on the same page and stay on the same page. Everybody doing everything that just comes to mind and going in all kinds of different directions and not being on the same page will hinder the work of any congregation. So I want to encourage us to get on the same page, have the same mind, strive for and speak the same things. That's not only a message here, but anywhere that I could preach this sermon, it'd be appropriate to say that. One more point. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and then verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This word, girded, which comes from an original word that is only used in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Thayer talked about this word and said that the Orientals, that they be unimpeded in their work, before, or they're moving about, before they began to take off on a journey, would bind up their flowing garments close to the body and fasten with a leathern girdle. Gird up. To bind up. So you won't be impeded in your movements by your garments that you would wear. And here he talks about girding up the loins of your mind. Is your mind such that it is impeded in the work that you're trying to do? Hindered? Need to gird up the loins of your mind. I think about what Peter stated in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Have you girded up the loins of your mind that you might be unimpeded in the work of which you're trying to do? We are engaged in the greatest work, top side of God's green earth, and that is the work of the Lord. Trying to get individuals to obey the gospel, knowing that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We want people to go to heaven and avoid being lost. What kind of mind do you have? One that will obey, we talked about earlier. Mind that loves the Lord and says, if I hear the truth, I'm ready to obey it. Let's see. You test yourself. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. And here's how. To hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe the gospel. John 8:24. Say, if you believe that I'm He, the Lord said, you shall die in your sins. Repent of your sins. That means turn from them. Begin to do what is right. Luke 13:5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. When you do that, God will forgive you of your sin. And He'll add you to the blood bought institution. Purchased with the shed blood of Jesus. Acts 20:28. The Church of Christ. Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You've not been living as you should. You've been unfaithful. But you want to come home. You want to be restored. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. Do you love the Lord enough to obey Him? Let's see. Come right now.